Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Ali Moreno and Shaka Hislop. A little later on the program, we're reacting to that explosive Cristiano Ronaldo interview. Ronaldo, of course, didn't play on Sunday in Manchester United's 2-1 victory over Fulham. He was sick. Christian Eriksen would open the scoring for United. Daniel James in scoring against Noel's side to make it 1-1. Garnacho, the 18-year-old, coming off the bench, though, to score the winner to hand Manchester United all 3 points. That leaves them fifth in the table, 3 points still adrift of Spurs, but with a game in hand. Let's welcome to the show, shall we, Stuart Robson and Gab Marcotti. Gab, shall we start? Let's start, shall we, with Garnacho. Tell us a little bit about him for those maybe who hasn't followed his career up to now.
Well, he was born in Spain. He's of Argentine descent. He, I think he represented, he came over from Getafe, of course, still just 18 years old. He represented Spain at youth level, and then he switched over and he played for Argentina in the under-20s. So I think theoretically he could he possibly could still switch back. But, you know, he's somebody who's been recognized as being very talented, but also very raw. There were some concerns, some whispers coming out about, you know, he needs to grow up. He needs to mature a little bit. Some issues with his discipline. But, you know, I think, and the boys will confirm this if I'm right, you know, when you've got that kind of attitude, that kind of hunger, it can be double-edged sword. And if you channel it correctly, the way he did tonight with the intensity coming on, you saw the way he celebrated, then you've got that swagger, you've got that confidence. You know, you can achieve some great things.
He was born in 2004, Robbo. Take that.
Well, I've seen a bit of him because he played for the Manchester United youth team last year and I covered all their games when they won the final and he was outstanding for them. He played on the left wing as he did when he came on today. And Gab was talking about his attitude and I was reading some of the things that players were saying. It's okay if your attitude is aggressive and you can be a little bit too overconfident. That's fine. It's when you don't train properly. And that was the suggestion from one or two of the players that were talking about him in pre-season. He didn't train well enough. He didn't train properly. And if you don't train properly, you're not going to be a top class player, but he has got the talent. He's quick, he can go past people, he can score a goal. If he continues on that sort of road, he will be an outstanding player. There's no doubt about that.
How did you balance out, Shaq, your talent compared to your arrogance and ego?
I went to college, Dan. I went to college to figure it all out. Listen, I understand the concern, I understand the criticism, but he's 18 years old.
Yeah.
You know, so you take that, whether we're talking about attitudes in pre-season training, whether we're talking about how raw of a talent he is, he's 18 years old. And when you see a player come onto the park, as he did today, and that finish was anything, it shouted anything but, I am a raw 18-year-old. The pace, yes, but then to get in the 92nd minute, you one and one with the goalkeeper and to be as cool, as composed with the finish, it speaks to the player that he is growing to be. There will be dips, as there are with every single 18-year-old, but you have to take him for those highs and managing him will be key. That is something that over the years Manchester United has done well. Ten Hag coming from Ajax, they know that as well as anybody else. So I think the future holds a lot for Garnacho. Enjoy the time while it's here, but let's not get overly carried away with some of our criticisms.
Well, you were saying he's probably going to win the Ballon d'Or now, Ali.
Is that what I said? Well, you want to see signs of growth, tangible signs of growth from a player. So you see him against Real Sociedad, scores a goal then, and you're thinking, all right, people are getting excited. And then Bruno Fernandes is the one that comes out and says, well, he's playing well now because he's training well, not like he was in preseason. And then you see the pass for McTominay against Aston Villa midweek, and you're saying, okay, there is something else here. So you're seeing scoring a goal against Real Sociedad. You're seeing the pass to McTominay. And then you see today, and I agree wholeheartedly with Xhaka, the calmness in the finish from a tight angle in a big moment, 93rd minute, that he's able to finish in the manner in which he did. That's tangible signs of growth. And that's exactly what you want. And you want that from Alejandro Garnacho, and you want that from Manchester United as a whole. And I think you're getting both. Garnacho scoring the game winner today, and today, Manchester United finding a way to win a game that the last couple of seasons, I think it's fair to say that they would have, not only could have, but would have lost this sort of matches. They won it today, big 3 points for Manchester United away from home.
And on merit, they didn't really deserve to win this game, Robbo.
No, I think it was a fairly even game. In terms of possession, Fulham dominated some of the midfield areas. I thought they played some really good football. Unfortunately, they didn't have Mitrovic playing, so Vinicius up front couldn't really get in the game. He didn't hold up the play particularly well. He didn't win enough balls in the air because Fulham created several good opportunities. But Manchester United were back to the days of Solskjaer, where they were brilliant counter-attacking. And that was the case with the first goal. They created other chances where they counter-attacked quickly through Rashford, through Martial. But overall, I think it was a fairly even game, and Fulham played their part, and I thought it was an entertaining game, and Manchester United got that all-important winner at the end through the skill of Garnacho.
Yeah, very much a fun game to watch involving United, who of course started the season so slowly but are now starting to find their feet and now are very much in the conversation when it comes to finishing in the top four. Let's take a look at the odds. We know the top, so it will be City and Arsenal, I think my $50 is safe.
Okay.
With regards to that bet with Stevie.
Thanks for the reminder.
And then, any excuse. You take a look at it. According to the bookies, it is Liverpool who are favourites to get third spot, or certainly a place in the top four. And if I do the maths quickly, I think just about United are ahead of Newcastle, not those Spurs. So would that be fair, Robbo, for you at the moment? Would you have Liverpool and Spurs making up the top four?
I would have Liverpool making up the top four because they do look as though they're going to go on a run. They will get better in the second half of the season. I'm still not sure about Spurs at the moment. I can't quite see what Antonio Conte's trying to do with the team. It takes them too long to get going. They're too defensive to start with, or they don't play with enough passion or forward thinking. And then they have to chase the games, and they can't always do that. And at the moment, they're too easy to play against. Leeds, I don't think, are a great side. But yesterday, they created numerous chances against a Tottenham side that looked vulnerable defensively. But then they had the rally at the end where they looked as though they were a much better side. I can't make out Tottenham at the moment. And because of that, I can't see them getting in the top four.
United, though, trending in the right direction for you, Gab.
They are in terms of results, and I think in terms of spirit, possibly with one major exception, Cristiano Ronaldo. After having, we'll talk about the interview he gave at some point. But my one thing with United is this isn't the Erik ten Hag formula. We've seen them be devastating on the counter. We've seen them play in transition. We saw it again today against Fulham. This gets you results, but it's not what Erik ten Hag is here to do now. It's gonna take a long time, I think, for him to play the way he wants United to play, and I think probably the way that they need to play if they are going to get into the top four.
The interview that Gab mentioned, by the way, this has just dropped. It's the front page of a newspaper in England on Monday. We're going to gather all the details of that. We'll speak about that a little later on in the show. But just to focus on United and where they're going, Ali, are they going in the direction quickly enough to make top four, in your opinion?
Well, I think that depends on what happens with Liverpool. I don't think it's a conversation just about Manchester United. However, if we're just focusing on Manchester United, are they better now than they were a couple of months ago? And I think the answer is, without a doubt, yes, they are. I don't think they are the final product. I don't think that they are where Ten Hag wants them to be. And that's why there are changes that are not only happening in front of us, but changes that will happen in the future and decisions to be made. But regardless, you are seeing, at the very least, as I mentioned before, signs of improvement, signs of growth. And if you're a Manchester United fan, that's what you hang on to. Are we improving? Are we better? Are we getting results? And I think, overall, you can pinpoint a couple of situations here and there where perhaps the answer is no to that. But I think, on the whole, you have to say, yes, they are better than what they were a couple of months ago.
Don, percentage question.
I would still put them at around 25-30% to get into the top four.
Don says that for everyone, so that's not bad.
So that is very Don-esque. Now, I think City, Arsenal finished top two. Right now, I think Newcastle are playing the best football of the chasing pack. And second to them, Manchester United. I am less and less convinced by Spurs, even though they somehow continue to get results. And the thing with Liverpool, what has them as high as they are, certainly with the bookies, is that you cannot see Liverpool being this bad second half of the season. Other than that, to be as poor as they were, and still, if they win the game in hand on Spurs, be within 5 points, I think it is, you think that they're going to get better. But as I say, right now, I think Newcastle and Manchester United are playing the third and fourth best football in the league.
What's interesting, Shaq, in all the clubs that you just mentioned, not a word for Chelsea, who, of course, are in big trouble at the moment, losing against Newcastle by 1-0, 4-5 under Graham Potter. What's gone wrong, Robbo?
Well, Graham Potter's gone in and he's tried to set his the way he wants his team to play. And he did it a bit at Brighton when he first went there, where they played some, you know, not quite attractive football. They kept the ball, but without any penetration. And that's been the problem for him so far. He's had lots of injuries as well, so he hasn't been able to pick a settled side. He's changed the system on numerous occasions. And he's trying to find out the best team and the best players for each position. And at the moment, it's a bit of a worry for him because they're not playing with a great deal of passion either. They're not defending for their lives and they're losing football games. So as we know with Chelsea, when you start losing football games, the manager will always come under pressure. And Potter, I don't think he's going to get the sack this season, but he's got to start getting some results because at the moment they're not playing well enough and they don't seem to have a style of football that you can actually call their own.
What are you hearing, Gab?
I think Potter's fine. I agree with Robbo. I think there's enough people in and around the ownership who've explained that this guy's actually very good. But, you know, he inherited a team with an absolutely wretched summer transfer campaign. I think those people who are saying, oh, look, he's, you know, his style is very similar to Tuchel's, really don't understand football at all. It's a very different style. He needs time to work. He hasn't had that, the pace of the games twice a week. It's not something he was used to at Brighton. I think in some ways also it looks worse than it is, because if you remember his first run of games, I heard all these people saying, oh, look, he's undefeated. Oh, look, Potter's undefeated in November and blah, blah, blah. I mean, he hasn't played anybody. They played Manchester United and they played Milan twice in the Champions League. Apart from that, you know, they basically played a bunch of cupcakes along the way. And now that they're playing tougher teams, and by the way, they weren't playing very well, except for the first Milan game, even in that run. So now that actually they're playing tougher opposition, between the injuries and the performances, as Robbo said, you realize just how dysfunctional the situation is and really what a mountain Potter needs to climb here.
If you require reading glasses, now would be an apt time to put them on as we take a look at Chelsea's signings over the last 3 years. A lot of players have come in for a lot of money. Uh-huh. And the thing is, Robert, you go down this list, I would say Thiago Silva and Edward Mendy are two players who haven't got worse since they joined Chelsea.
And you're suggesting everybody else has, which you might be absolutely right. And is it the players' fault? Is it the management's fault? Is it that they were bought into the wrong system? You can only tell if you were inside the training ground. But a lot of those players that when they came to Chelsea, I thought they'd be outstanding players. You know, Timo Werner, when I'd seen him play for Leipzig, I thought he'd be ideal for Chelsea. He'd be the centre-forward. He could run in behind. When you saw Havertz play in the Bundesliga, you thought he was going to go and be an outstanding player. So there's been lots of players that I think have failed. Cucurella, when you saw him play for Brighton, you thought he was going to go and get cross after cross into the box, do brilliantly down the left-hand side. He's had poor time. So there's been some real problems with their signings. And the one player that I always liked when he was playing for Napoli is Koulibaly. He's had his injury problems as well since he's been at Chelsea, but he hasn't been the formidable defender he was when he was at Napoli.
Is it just the scattergun approach of their signings, Gab, and the way they go about their recruitment? Is this a product of that?
I think they were trying to build towards something, although I think that they probably made some mistakes before under the old regime, so to speak. Last summer, we know what happened because of the change of ownership. everybody from Scott McLaughlin to Peter Cech to Marina Granovskaya, all these people who had been part of Chelsea's success, they were all moved on, understandably so. And Todd Boehly himself, I think, joked that he's the interim sporting director. And so you had, you know, a guy who probably hadn't even really thought about football at all until a few months earlier, and teamed up with a guy who is very much a coach in Thomas Tuchel and not a recruitment specialist, not a scout, not a director of football. You had those two guys working together. And so you saw a lot of the signings that we saw this summer. They're not all bad signings. I think most of them are vastly overpriced. And, you know, a wise person said, there's no bad assets. There's only incorrectly priced assets. And I think that's what some of these players certainly feel like at this stage.
How difficult is it for these players to come in to somewhere that isn't an established side? If you see what I mean, there's no spine to this team. It's not just like adding a couple of more ingredients to make this a tastier dish. It just seems to be starting from scratch every time.
Well, if you know what this dish is supposed to look like at the end, I think that would help. I mean, right now, and I think it was Stuart who touched on it, nobody knows what to expect of Chelsea. Nobody knows what this Chelsea is even supposed to look like. So you're not quite sure what you're asking of all those signings. And yes, I thought last summer's transfer activity was haphazard at best. Good players, but coming into a system that and change of coach, nobody quite knows what to make of. And it's just imploding. And for as good a manager as Potter has shown himself to be, the longer this continues, the harder road back it is. Players become disenfranchised. They're not sure what their role is, what his role is, or his future at the club is. Nobody's still quite sure what Todd Boehly is going to be doing with the club and how he's going to be managing it.
He's
behind there.
Stop, Todd.
Nobody's quite sure what he's doing back there. And as a player, the longer that continues, the more difficult it is for you to buy in to whatever it is. And unfortunately, it means that a very well-established and well-liked manager, certainly coming into the job in Graham Potter, is going to be the one will be the face of that failure if it happens.
Does it become kind of self-preservation from a player's perspective?
Well, of course it does. It's human nature. You start feeling, oh, boy.
Right.
Everybody's walking on eggshells, and if you're walking on eggshells, you're going to take care of you first. Now, I'm going to go along with the analogy of the dish that you just mentioned, right? Well, it's only been a couple of years ago or removed from this dish winning Champions League.
Mm-hmm. Michelin star, you could say, if it's Champions League.
So how much did this need to change in order for them to stay competitive and stay at that level? I think what really should be highlighted here is how quickly the fall from grace has happened for this group of players. That indeed there was a core group in place, that indeed there was a team that was successful, that reached some level of success to the point of winning Champions League, and then 2 years removed from that, we are having this conversation as to we're considering whether Graham Potter is the right answer or not, and as to whether he's going to be the face of the failure or not. I think it goes beyond just the players that they've gotten. The decisions at the administrative level, obviously, the change in ownership plays a part into this. The whole culture of the club plays a part into this. And as to your question, Dan, yes, when you know things are in trouble, you're going to take care of yourself first.
Right.
That's just the way it is. You want to protect your career. You want to protect your path. You want to protect yourself. But the mistake is, and it's a common mistake, when you do that, you're not any closer to playing as a team, to playing together, to playing well on the field, and to performing well on the field together. And the only way to win matches is to play well together. So it's one of those things. You want to protect yourself, but you have to give enough of yourself and put yourself out there just enough to make sure that this team plays well together, and I don't think they've been able to do that.
So how does Potter address that, Robbo?
Well, first of all, he's got to get a system that he really wants to play. He's got to make sure that he's got the players in the right positions, and he's got to make decisions on players. He can't sort of say, well, I'll give him two or three games, and I'll give him two or three games, and I'm going to change the system again. He's got to give the players something to focus on. This is the way we're going to play. I've now had a good look at you for 8 weeks or eight matches or whatever it is. I'm now going to play this sort of system. I'm going to play you there, and we're going to go with this for the next month when they come back, or next month, 2 months, and I'm going to get it right. I'm going to get it right, because that's the problem. As Ali said, the players will be looking at the manager, when sometimes it's the players' fault.
Let's just take a look at the title odds, and not a surprise, Chelsea are very much down. Oh, they're not even in the list.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Trust us, they're there somewhere.
I could have done that segue much better. Anyway, when you take a look at the top two, it is Arsenal or Manchester City. One of those will be crowned the league champions come the end of the season. The big question is who, according to the bookies. It's still Manchester City, despite that five-point gap. Should we play the percentage game, Robbo? Where do you stand? Chance of Arsenal winning the title?
Chance of Arsenal winning the title? I'm going to go with 45% because, yes, I think Man City are still the favourites, but Arsenal are playing well. They've got two wide players that are doing a magnificent job at going past people, Martinelli and Saka. They've got a centre-forward who looks a totally different player since he's been at Arsenal from Manchester City. Odegaard is doing well, scored a couple of goals at the weekend. They've got midfield players that are doing their jobs well. And although the back players, I still think they've got one or two mistakes in them, they're playing with a great deal of confidence. They're playing as a team. There's a great team spirit as well. And now, other sides, I think, are frightened of Arsenal. So they defend much deeper. They allow Arsenal to play. So all the things that used to cause Arsenal problems, they aren't causing Arsenal problems at the moment. So I give them 45%.
We're going to talk about this, I imagine, with you two this week, because there's nothing else to talk about.
Okay, all right.
But as you're here, Shaka, I want to talk about something that happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. In the Spurs. Did you see this in the Spurs
yes.
game?
Yes. honestly, I don't know how to begin to explain this.
What's the really problem?
Isn't it just a rough and tumble with the Premier League, Shaq?
I mean, that is ridiculous. How that isn't spotted first time off?
Yeah.
Right? We keep putting everything on VAR's doorstep, but how that isn't spotted first time off is simply beyond me. Then to double down on that, how do you look at those replays and make the argument? And as much as I hate the saying about the bar that you have to come over to overturn,
the threshold. Yes,
it's a high threshold. I mean, what is that? I mean.
It's a foul is what it is.
Oh, Annie, you're a striker. You need to defend this. Come on.
No, I couldn't possibly do that. 100% a foul.
It's bonkers.
And you know what's amazing? It's the arrogance of people who cover this league that say things like, well, it's because the physicality of the Premier League.
Yeah.
Right.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Okay, don't look at me in that way. I didn't.
The only when I saw that, the first thing that came to mind for some reason was Spurs. And that equaliser against Chelsea went...
Right.
Have there been two more clear fouls that were not spotted and they're not overturned?
Yeah.
In for this season, I don't know what Antonio Conte has done to intimidate VAR.
Stuart Robson?
Yeah, it's a foul. Well, yeah, Shaq is right, Ali's right, it's a foul. Not much else you can say about it, but goalkeepers have got to be tougher. He should be stronger. He should get both hands in it and punch it away.
Thank you, that was coming up.
You knew there was a bug.
Yes.
Soft goalkeepers, that's the problem. You know, just to back up Ali, I mean... It's a league that you have to be tough in the Premier League. It's the rough and tumble of the Premier League.
Yeah, real league.
That's it. There we go. Just a reminder that everyone is back for extra time today.
Oh, hello.
Which is available over on our YouTube channel. I'm just having a look at the questions now.
Uh-huh.
One's addressed to Dr. Hislop.
Oh,
that was before.
When is he coming?
Yeah, no use in an emergency.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. PSG then, taking all 3 points with a 5-0 victory. And what does that mean? PSG are 5 points clear at the top of the table. And let's go from France to Italy, shall we? A number of big games, including another win for Juventus as they defeated Lazio by 3-0 to move them up to third in the Serie A table. Hey, Gab, you were wrong about Allegri all along.
Was I? Was I wrong? I mean, look, tonight was a very good, I thought was a very good performance against a disappointing Lazio side. It's amazing what can happen, right, when you actually go out and you play some of your youngsters. The funny thing is, they've had this turnaround in games, and they've done it without all those people that Allegri said were absolutely critical to him, from Pogba to Di Maria, who came on for his 50-minute warm-up ahead of the World Cup, without Paredes, who, you know, all of a sudden was Pirlo, Frank Rijkaard, and Godzilla rolled into one, and he absolutely had to have, without Dusan Vlahovic. No, look, he realizes, hey, look, if I actually coach these players, if I put together a system that kind of makes sense and in the 3-5-2, and maybe these guys will show up. And if I don't keep telling, you know, Moise Kean that he's terrible and a waste of talent, hey, look, maybe he'll score a goal for us. So these things are falling into place. I wouldn't get overly carried away, but they do look on track for top four.
Oh, but even Rabiot is playing well, Gab.
Rabiot's fantastic. Incredible what a World Cup year old youth. Rabiot has been absolutely devastating. I think he's actually been very good for most of the season this year. The ingredients for Rabiot being good were all there. He's strong, he's physical, he's technically gifted. The man won a World Cup, let's not forget. The problem is he's had a lot of horrible underachieving spells, but this season hasn't been one of them.
Robbo with us as well. Robbo, you've got to take a look at this. And Allegri kind of defying the critics, of course, many of whom wanted him gone just a few weeks ago.
Yes, and I was probably one of those as well, because I haven't been impressed with Allegri over since he's taken over. But it was a good performance today. They got the best out of the players that were on show. He played the usual system, so they're getting better. And I think they will be challenging come the end of the season. They've got that spirit. Obviously, after the World Cup, they've got to put in some good performances again. But you just see the beginning of Juventus coming back to be a decent side.
Meanwhile, what a game it was between Atalanta and Inter. Inter taking all 3 points in this tie, Gab. Impressive stuff from the visitors. Did they deserve it, though?
I think so. You know, in the first half, I thought Atalanta definitely, they came out all guns blazing, man-marking all over the pitch. It was kind of old-style Gasperini football. And I thought Inter, it certainly took them a while to figure out what was going on. But then in the second half, I think we saw a different Inter, Dzeko, who'd actually equalized in the first half, getting on the score sheet again, and Lautaro as well, looking really, really sharp ahead of the World Cup. And yeah, I thought it was definitely a deserved 3 points for Inter.
A lot then to discuss on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Be sure to check that out. That drops on Monday.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Right then, the World Cup kicks off in less than a week's time. We've got a lot of predictions from everyone. Yet to hear from Stuart Robson. So you look through his group stages. I don't think there's anything particular there that makes you go, what?
Uh-huh.
So let's go straight now, shall we, to the knockout stages. Well, he does have Switzerland being knocked out. So we've got the Dutch against the US. Take us through your bracket from this stage, Robbo.
Well, I would say that... I think it's the Netherlands versus the United States. Netherlands will win that game, so they'll go through to the next one. Argentina will win their game, so that's going to be a great game against the two of those. It's very difficult for me to read it from this sort of distance.
Oh, that's all right, don't worry, Robert, I'll help you. Spain against Croatia, who have you got?
Spain, definitely Spain.
There we go. And Brazil, Uruguay.
It has to be Brazil, of course.
So it'll be Brazil-Spain quarter-final.
I've gone for Brazil. I think they'll beat Spain. Spain are a decent side, but Brazil, I think, are one of the favourites.
And it will be a Brazil-Argentina semi-final, which I think everybody, apart from the aforementioned Frank Leboeuf, has got. Now, England against Senegal. Robbo hates Gareth Southgate. What will that do about...
Oh! Hey!
Wow!
England will win that game comfortably. They'll find a bit of form, England, so they'll go through.
France-Mexico. France will go through. That's kind of...
I think France will do that. France,
yeah, Belgium, even though they've got Germany, a couple of Robbo. You've got Germany France, going through.
I have. I think Belgium have passed their best, and I think Germany might play quite well in the World Cup, so I think they'll go through.
And then Portugal-Serbia.
I think that's going to be a tight one, but Portugal to win that.
So it will be, according to you, a France-Germany semi-final, with the Germans beating Portugal and France beating England. So Argentina-Brazil, who's going through that semi-final, Robbo?
I'm going to go with Brazil. It's going to be tight, but Brazil maybe on penalties.
And then the other semi-final.
I'm going to go with France. I think they just have too much for Germany. And overall, Brazil to beat France in the final.
That is very much going with the trend of everybody else. Brazil to beat France to be crowned the champions. Frank Leboeuf would love that. Well, he wouldn't love that, but he'd love the fact it's a rerun of the 98 final. We'd hear a lot about that. He's here. Frank Leboeuf is here. Oh. And Robbo, what are you doing for the World Cup?
I'm going to be on your show every so often. I'm going to be watching some of the games and coming on to be taken the mickey out of by you every so often.
I do like you refer to it as my show. I think that's
Well, we know. You tell everybody it's your show. Every time I see you say, my show.
Yes.
You never call it FC. It's my show.
Yeah, indeed. Unless it's rubbish. Let's take a look then. Everybody's picked. Everybody is going for Brazil, with the exception of Julien Laurent, who's going with his heart. And Frank, who's going with God knows what, he's got Denmark to beat Brazil in the final. We'll, of course, be discussing this at length, won't
Denmark?
We? This week.
What?
We've not seen that before. He's got Denmark-Canada in the semi-final.
What?
Okay, here we go. We are live today, and this is just breaking in England. An exclusive interview between Piers Morgan and Cristiano Ronaldo. Cristiano Ronaldo not pulling any punches with regards to his time at Manchester United.
I thought he was sick.
He says, I don't respect Erin Ten Hag. There's no empathy for my sick girl. I've been made a black sheep. This obviously is something that is dropping, that is developing as we're on air, Gab. Why is he doing this now?
It's a great question. We don't know the ins and outs. We don't know if it was authorized by the club right now. As you said, we just sort of this is all happening right now as we speak. We know that he sat down for 90 minutes of interview with Piers Morgan. So there should be a lot more to come. I believe it's going to be coming out over the next couple of days. But if you want to kind of speculate, the obvious question is, I think Manchester United matters a lot to Cristiano Ronaldo, and he wants to get his side of the story across. Also, with regard to what happens in January about him leaving the club, I think that matters to him. I don't think after what he said, I think it's very difficult, to imagine him going off to the World Cup and then coming back and kissing and making up with Erik ten Hag. So this may be his last opportunity, one of his last opportunities to address United fans. And he certainly, I think you may agree with him or disagree with him, spoke from the heart about feeling betrayed, about how the club needs to change deeply. He made reference to a quote from Picasso that, basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, every creative act, every act of construction has to start with an act of destruction. And he said that Sir Alex Ferguson pretty much knows and implied that he agreed with him about what's going on at the club. So tough words. I think he wants to get the point across that if he does go and if he speaks like this, he does it out of love for Manchester United.
Yeah, I think you kind of have to question that, especially when you're having to go at the man who is coaching them at the moment, Robbo, and doing a decent job at it. He said of Ten Hag, and he was asked about that suspension of Ronaldo after, of course, he refused to come on as a substitute late on in that game against Spurs. I don't have respect for him because he doesn't show respect for me. If you don't have respect for me, I'm never going to have respect for you. If you don't have respect for me, I'm never going to have respect for you.
Mm. Yeah, I think he's doing it for the love of the club, as Gab just said there. I think it's more about Cristiano Ronaldo being upset because he's not in the side at the moment and he's not the kingpin that he once was. But that always happens with players when they get to the end of their career, and he's towards the end of his career. He isn't the same inspirational player that he once was. He's not going to get the goals he once did. He can't do the movement that he once did. And Erik ten Hag, as part of his makeup of the team, didn't want him in the side and didn't want him at the club because he thought he was probably a nuisance. So he probably hasn't got that much respect for Ronaldo, but Ronaldo's got to react in a much better way by refusing to go on against Tottenham. That was the end of the straw for him and Manchester United. It's something I expected him to probably do. You knew he was going to come out with that sort of comment at some point. It's not good, is it, really?
But Ten Hag then welcomed him back after the wasn't he a captain for a game last week as well? You kind of think, well, look, he's offered enough olive branches to you, and yet you come out in this interview and say that he has no respect for you.
Right. So beyond what Robbo just said, which I agree, the fact that Ronaldo knows himself that he's no longer the player that he once was, the evidence now is in front of him, not because he's not out there playing, but because he's not out there playing and the team is winning without him. And so, therefore, that's the real dagger. That's the one that truly hurts. Right. The fact that the team looks better without him on the field. And that in itself is going to create this feeling of, well, now I have to speak out because I know my time is coming to an end. And this has nothing to do with the love for the club. This has everything to do with the love for Cristiano Ronaldo and him taking care of himself. We just talked about the idea of players protecting themselves. This is exactly what he's doing. I'm going to get my side of the story out there because I don't want anybody to control it for me. I'm going to control it and I'm going to say what I need to say because I'm Cristiano Ronaldo and I deserve that much. But when you come out and say things like this, I don't think you garner respect or support. I think you garner a feeling of petty, that you come across as being petty and vindictive, you don't come out as the guy who has the right answers. You come out as the guy who now has turned his back on the club and on everybody else that is involved with Manchester United.
And he's pining back to the days of Sir Alex Ferguson being in charge, saying he spoke to Sir Alex, he knows what's going wrong with this club. Again, it all seems very counterproductive for a club you supposedly love.
Exactly, and that's the whole point. While he is trying to frame it, and his fans and supporters will try to frame it as he's doing this out of the love for Manchester United, how does any of this benefit Manchester United? How does any of this benefit anybody but Cristiano Ronaldo? And to the point of anybody who's there criticize him, whether you're a former teammate or a friend or not, if you criticize Ronaldo, he takes a swipe at you. And he does so again in this article, which points to the level of pettiness. Not just that he's petty, but how petty he can get, even at this point of his career, where even he has to recognize he is not the player that he once was. But he expects to be respected as that player while not showing that type of respect on or off the field to anybody in the game. It makes absolutely no sense other than to somehow artificially inflate Ronaldo's own ego.
Yeah, you're referring to the criticism that Wayne Rooney threw his way. He responded to that in this interview saying, I don't know why he criticises me so badly. Probably because he's finished his career and I'm still playing at a high level. He chuckles and adds, I'm not going to say that I'm looking better than him, which is true.
I am going to say it.
But this is also on the back of him, turning his back on Jamie Carragher and Gary Neville. I mean, it just speaks volumes to... And here's the thing about this. I think Ronaldo fans are going to rally around this and champion everything he said, even more feverishly than they've done before. People who had despised this size of Ronaldo are going to be just as loud in their criticism. It does nothing to kind of help anybody see the better of Ronaldo himself.
Gab, that's it, isn't it? You know, he's very much gone a long way to destroying his legacy at United.
I don't think you can destroy your legacy. Even people who loved him when he was at the peak of his career said that that he was a diva, right? It's just part of the character that he is. This whole idea, by the way, that it hurts him because he's out of the side, but Erik ten Hag is doing so brilliantly. I don't know if I watch a different game today than the one against Fulham, but it was a last-minute winner from a kid.
But are United a better team with or without him, Gab? They're a better team without Ronaldo. That's not even up for discussion.
We've been saying this since the summer. And that they should have gone somewhere, that they should have found a home for him in the summer, and he should have accepted that. That's without saying. It's also equally true that Erik ten Hag, he's not some kind of saint. He also said, but we're so much better with Cristiano. Cristiano's never a problem, blah, blah, blah. You remember, he said all this stuff in the summer. So, you know, we can all lie to ourselves, and we all know that he shouldn't be there right now. He shouldn't have been there in the summer. I think certainly he bears the brunt of the responsibility. If I'm United, I turn this into a positive. Now, it's very obvious there's no way back for him. Now, you can move on from Cristiano Ronaldo. Yes, he has 6 months left on his contract. I don't think anybody would blame Ten Hag if he said, look, Cristiano, you're not going to play if you stay here, okay? You are not in my team ever. You know, you and Phil Jones are going to go hang out, okay? So, once you say that, you chuck this back to Cristiano, and you say, you know what? I'm going to cancel my contract. I'm going to leave money on the table. I'm going to go somewhere else. So if you're United, now you have all the excuses you need. And if you're Ten Hag, that you can say, this has gone too far. It's time to move on. And maybe this is what Cristiano wants. Maybe this is why he speaks the way he does. But I think we also have to be honest to ourselves. And, you know, we can't just say that one person's a super villain. Ten Hag inherited the situation. He inherited Cristiano. It was obvious Cristiano didn't fit into his plans, nor should he fit into his plans because, this was a rebuilding job. But I think now we have this clarity. We have this breaking point. United can move on from Cristiano once and for all in January. And maybe Cristiano will accept that. Or if he wants to sit around and keep counting his money and go on the Gareth Bale plan for 6 months, that's fine too. But I think now Erik ten Hag can just look him in the eye and say, you're not playing for me ever again. And I think that's fine.
Gav, I don't know why you're inclined to defend him in this situation where he could have acted in a completely different manner than he has. We're not just suddenly out of nowhere picking him up as the bad guy in this, considering everything that he has done between pre-season and now. I think it's justified, isn't it, the way we're discussing him?
Well, I'm not saying that Cristiano is blameless here. No, everybody, I think, rightly complained about what he did against Tottenham as being totally unacceptable. But I don't remember, other than the Tottenham incident, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I don't remember Cristiano complaining, giving out interviews.
Well, he left half time pre-season, didn't he? Pre-season friendly, left at half time.
Yeah, along with a bunch of other players.
But that's a what about Riyadh? He still left. He still left at half time, Gab.
But what I'm saying is the guy sits there for 4 months and he doesn't speak. And I think most of us speculate and know what he's thinking. I mean, really, this should have had, if everybody was a grown up here, from Cristiano to George Mendes, they would have come out in the summer and said, oh, look, you're hiring Erik ten Hag. We know enough about football to know that Cristiano Ronaldo does not fit in Erik ten Hag's system. You know what? Manchester United, I have another year here. I'm going to walk away from my contract because I've made enough money. I can build myself a gold swimming pool if I want to. And I'm going to go somewhere else. But you know what? Cristiano and George Mendes did not do that over the summer.
They tried, Gav. They tried. You were there, on the show for the whole summer saying that they're trying. And Chelsea turned him down. Juventus turned him down for a turn. PSG, nobody wanted him. That's the only reason that he stayed. It was nothing to do with dedication to Manchester United.
Nobody. I'm not suggesting he stayed out of dedication for Manchester United. Nobody wanted him because he wasn't prepared to take the necessary pay cut involved, and to some degree because United were still under the mistaken impression that they could wangle some kind of transfer fee for him, which obviously they weren't going to do. That's why he stayed in the summer. But, now all the cards are on the table. There's no more lying. There's no more pretending. There's no more Cristiano will always get you goals in any system. Ha, ha, ha. Cristiano can never be a problem. Ha, ha, ha. All these moronic things that all these numpties came out and said. Now it's all over. It's all done. Now we have clarity. Now Erik ten Hag can continue to build. And Cristiano can go somewhere else. And I think if you're United fan, this is the positive spin that you take out of it. Does it look bad when you have a guy come out and goes and blasts his manager hours after you won a Premier League game? Sure it does. And it probably hurts. But I think now is the time that you can finally move on and you can bury this and put it behind you.
As long as Ten Hag's in charge, there's no way he's playing for United again, is it, Robert?
Absolutely not. I mean, actually, I think it's a good thing for Manchester United. I'll go along with Gavin in certain ways, because now he's said everything that makes Ten Hag say he's never going to play for us again. He looks the bad guy now. Ten Hag looks okay. Everybody looks okay. The bad person is Cristiano Ronaldo. He's done nothing for his own. He's tried to build up his own ego and being bitter about it and all that sort of stuff. But it's actually made it far worse for him. And Manchester United, as Gab said, can now move on. Yes, sorry, this is the player that doesn't want to play for us. This is the player that says he doesn't respect the manager. Clear off. Go away. We don't want you.
It's like a bad relationship, isn't it?
There's the 100% evidence. She was cheating on you. That's it. Get on with it.
What?
No, I'm just saying that.
That's not escalated.
That escalated
rather quickly.
It's the closure that everyone needs.
Don't hang in to apparently, quote-unquote, protect the children.
Right.
Don't hang in the relationship because you think you're making it better for the children.
Yeah.
No, in this case, no. Split.
That's
but
it.
This is a split that should have happened in the summer, and now it's dragged on and dragged on and dragged on. And if indeed you were going to split, what I would say is that this is not the way you do it.
No.
You don't go in the newspaper to say this, right? Go somewhere else, find yourself a team, leave a contract on the table, whatever the case may be, and then years later, perhaps, if you want to touch upon it, if indeed this is so important to you and so significant to you, you can address it then. But when you say these things, it doesn't help Cristiano Ronaldo. And I know he does this for his brand, for Cristiano Ronaldo. And I wish I could tell him, Cristiano, this doesn't help you.
I have nothing to do with Manchester United, no connection with Manchester United, nor Cristiano Ronaldo. And I can tell you, watching from the outside and reading this, this doesn't help Cristiano Ronaldo at all.
For the record, I cannot contribute to that line of analysis.
All right. No, that's
split and children, and I don't know what you all are talking about.
Well,
all right, Shaq, it was just an analogy.
I just need to put that on the record.
Well, neither do I, Shaq.
I'm just saying.
Shaq, you're talking quite a lot
there's
about
always
this.
Time, Shaq. There's always time, Shaq. There's always time.
Of all the analysis you're going to hear about Ronaldo over the next few days, maybe not many will go down that road. I'm sure more reaction then on the next edition. Oh, there's something to talk about now.
Hey!
Football going on. Thank you, Ronaldo, you little beauty.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Oh my lord, look at all these games that are coming up this week here on ESPN Plus. A number of international friendlies for you ahead of the start of the World Cup. We've got a FA Cup tie in there as well.
Oxford United?
Woking Oxford, yeah, that's the FA Cup first round replay, I imagine, or maybe it was postponed.
Orange County FC.
There you go. And then some League One matches for you on Friday and Saturday. Pompey against Derby. Pompey is Ian Dark's team. Exeter against Ipswich. Exeter is where my sister lives.
Thank you for that, Dan.
Burton Albion against Plymouth Argyle. Plymouth Argyle was the closest club to me when I was growing up. Every link to the Thomas household.
So they would have scouted you at St. Michael's School? Or wherever it was?
No, we were like 250 miles away. We're still quite a while away from civilization.
Nearly.
That is it.
How did you manage to make it all about you?
I don't know, but it's amazing.
It's a gift.
Be sure to stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Gab and Robbo back with us.
Hey.
Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. Oh, a dramatic live show, the Ronaldo interview dropping. Ali with our Shaka as well. Stuart Robson, delighted that he has to stay late.
Hey.
Why are you not at home, Robbo?
Because I wanted to come and see you, Dan. You know, apparently the connection isn't very good at my house, so I've come into the studio. What's Gab dancing up and down?
It's Sunday night. Gab's loving it. He's just singing Nacho Man.
He's doing the Ronaldo bop.
Okay, which one of them is more likely to happen? I'll give this to Robin. Arsenal winning the league or Newcastle finishing in the top four?
Newcastle finishing in the top four.
Right, yeah. Gab?
You know, that's the answer I would have given until last week. Having watched Arsenal yesterday, I'm going to say Arsenal finishing. And having watched City more like yesterday, I'm going to say Arsenal winning the league.
Had you not seen them all season, Gab? Was this the first time?
No, I've never. I've only started watching football yesterday.
Wow, that would explain some of your music.
He's in a mood today, Gab. Dad's in a weird mood today.
There's no football this week. I'm worried already. You're going to say Newcastle?
Of course I am.
Yeah.
Arsenal winning the league.
Just to be different?
No, because I believe it.
For Robbo, if you were the
captain... He's not different, he's like me.
Yeah.
That makes two of us.
That's what Gab said.
For Robbo, if you were the gaffer of the English national team, Who would be your starting 11 for the World Cup?
Pickford in goal. I'm going to go with a back three of Walker, Stones and Maguire still. Two wing-backs, Trippier and Shaw. I'd go with Bellingham and Rice in midfield, and I'd start Saka on the right. He's in form. Oh. I'd start Foden on the left, and I'd start Harry Kane through the middle.
Looks good.
And I'd only start Harry Maguire because I don't like Eric Dier as a centre-half, and I don't like Connor Cody. So he can be a good player. He's not had a lot of football, but I'm going to trust Harry Maguire to play on the left-hand side of that back three.
I like that team.
That's a good team. I think Robbo should be.
Gab, do you want to pick it apart?
No, but you didn't specify that Robbo had to pick Southgate's players.
No, that's
because
true.
There are other centre backs out there, other than Dyer. So you'd still have Maguire. I know you don't like Dyer and Cody.
Well, I had the squashing fishing for the Italian
as well.
There's an Italian link coming up here.
Here we go.
Here it comes. Here it comes.
Yeah, Tomori, a typically Italian name, but I was just curious whether you think Tomori would be a better fit in that back three than Maguire.
Tomori has played well for Milan. I've seen him recently. I wasn't very impressed with him last week when he played on the left-hand side of a back three. And he was the player that had all the time in the world and he failed to come out with it. And Milan looked a little bit short on ideas, mainly because Tomori couldn't come out with the ball. So I saw a weakness there, but he's a good defender. He's quick. He's reads danger.
No, you stick to your guns. Don't be persuaded by the Italians. Dr. Hislop.
Ooh. Yes, yes.
Uh-huh. Which CONCACAF team goes furthest in Qatar?
I can't remember who's there.
So we got Costa Rica, Canada, the US, Mexico.
Mexico. I'm not at all convinced by the others.
Have you got Mexico going out of the group?
I can't remember.
Good.
All right, good. Thank you, Shaq. Dr. Hislop.
I don't think it'll be a great tournament for CONCACAF. Canada top qualifying. I don't think Canada will do that well either.
So France got them in the semi-finals.
My point exactly.
Do you root for the CONCACAF?
Yes, I do.
Teams, yes?
Yeah. Say CONCACAF again, let me hear.
CONCACAF.
Yes, I do, is the short
answer. Right, okay. That's interesting, because we don't really root for the European teams, but you would root for the South American teams?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah.
Gab, who are you rooting for?
Hey, wait. Why are you going to pick on Gab?
I'm mostly rooting against.
Against England?
I'm just simply rooting... No, mostly against Germany for obvious reasons.
Right.
But beyond that, I need to figure this out. I'm going to allow myself to be seduced by something. By the way, I'm not being anti-German. It's simply the fact that other than Brazil, nobody has won more World Cups than Italy. And that would change were Germany to win the World Cup. That is the only reason why I will always root for whoever's playing against Germany.
There's a thought there.
And Robbo's obviously rooting against England. Oh. So who are you going for, Robbo?
I'm not rooting... No, I'm not rooting against England. But I would like Spain to do very well because, as you know, we've got La Liga on ESPN Plus every week. All the games live on ESPN Plus.
Wow.
So I'd like Spain to do well.
Look at that.
Wow. What a corporate man. What a corporate star he is.
What was the best part of the 10 days in Spain that you had, Robbo?
Certainly not doing the shows, not doing your shows, Dan.
We had a lovely time doing the shows together. What do you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, we did, but it's. I enjoyed the commentaries. The two Barcelona games were excellent, I thought. Great atmosphere, 90,000 people inside the stadium. Everything was good, apart from doing the show with you.
Good. There we are.
Everybody's highlighted.
That just seemed aggressive for no reason. Dan?
I enjoy your company, Dan.
Hey, don't worry about it. Ali,
you changed that in a minute. You changed your mind in a minute.
Ali, percentage chance of an Argentina-Portugal final. Ronaldo's well rested.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Very well rested. No, this is not happening.
So zero?
Zero.
Wow. Okay. Zero. Because of Portugal more than Argentina.
Yes.
For Gab, can you channel your inner Don Hutchison and give me the percentage chance Napoli has of going undefeated in Serie A?
Undefeated?
Yeah.
That is an extremely tall order. So I think they're very low. I'm going to say 5%.
What about to win it all?
Well, here they're substantially higher, Dan, given that their lead is now, what, still 8 points because I guess Milan won, but I'm going to say 65%.
That's quite low, isn't it, Gab, still?
There's a lot of games to go. We've only played 15 games, but yeah. I'll tell you what, I was running the numbers on this. One incredible stat for me for Napoli, which really stands them in good stead. They're only sending 5 players to the World Cup. And a lot of their big guns, like Lobotka, like Osimhen, are not going to the World Cup. And I think that could really be a game changer when we come back in January.
I can't believe it's taken us this long to get to this question. Do Shaka, Ali and Robbo watch cricket? By the way, congratulations, Dan, for the T20 World Cup win. Thank you very much. I played a big part in that. Do you know what? My plan was to avoid the result completely because it was on at 3 a.m. here and then obviously watch it this morning. Woke up, looked at my phone. That was it. Done. Within 2 seconds of waking up, I'd completely and utterly scuppered my plan.
So you're right.
I'll answer the question by asking a question.
Yes.
What are we talking about?
So England won the World Cup today of cricket.
Oh.
But it's a very short format. Quite controversial in that it's a little bit jazzed up, a little bit exciting.
Gimmicky?
So, yeah, someone like Stuart Robson would not be a fan of T20.
Okay.
Like him and Ian Dart would prefer the old school 5-day test series. Uh-huh. The T20 is very much for the youngsters.
For the new generation.
Yes, exactly. Oh. They have colourful shirts, there's fireworks, there's music, pretty much everything Robbo hates.
Okay.
Fair?
Yeah, absolutely fair, Dan. Yeah, I'd watch a test match any day over a 2020 cup final. What a load of old rubbish. It's got to be the 5 days. Proper test cricket.
Yes. Yeah.
A game of endurance and skill and hard work.
Did you watch it at all, though, Robbo?
I didn't, I'm afraid, no. I didn't. I've been doing so many games with Derek Ray over the last 2 or 3 days that I didn't have time to watch it, I'm afraid.
Wow. That's the effect Derek has on you.
I watch when the West Indies are doing well.
Right.
So in this World Cup...
Yeah, they struggled in this World Cup.
Well, that's put it very nicely,
yes,
Dan.
Yes, yeah.
We'll settle with their struggles. So no, I did not watch this.
So is this World Cup played every year?
It's in Australia. I think it's every 2 or 4... No, I think it's every 4 years, because then it's the 50-over World Cup.
Okay, now you've got to speak English to me.
Which is England are the world champions as well, Dan.
Yeah, we're the world champions of that. That was an incredible final against New Zealand. Oh. Watch it on YouTube tonight. Brilliant. Yep. Ben Stokes... Amazing.
Dan will send you a link.
Yeah.
So you don't have to look around.
So the World Cup's kind of the pinnacle in these short formats, and then it's still the Ashes, which is England against Australia, which is the pinnacle in Test cricket.
But that doesn't include the West Indies.
Is the pinnacle between England and Australia?
Yeah, so in England...
Right, there's only two of them. You don't make it seem like, everybody looking at the Ashes.
Gab, if we were to do a power rank, let's do your top 5 power rankings of Gab Marcotti's sport love... What would it be?
It wouldn't be T20 or indeed any kind of cricket.
Oh.
I would go with football, the one I cover for a living. At number one, probably, yes. Understandably. At number two, I would put NFL football.
Oh. Eagles.
At number three, I would put rugby. By the way, Italy beating Australia this weekend in the rugby. I think that's...
Yes, good, good.
You know, that's kind of like the U.S. beating Brazil. So
good weekend for the Northern Hemisphere side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number four, I would put basketball.
Mm.
And does professional wrestling count as a sport?
Professional wrestling in what sense?
Like Yokozuna?
Oh, dear.
What do you mean, professional wrestling in what sense? Are there multiple senses of professional wrestling?
No, when I think wrestling, I think Yokozuna, Macho Man, Randy Savage, you know, Undertaker growing up, obviously.
Yeah, you're kind of dating yourself now. All right, you're not getting that. Well, we'll put that, we'll file that away under sports entertainment. And at number five, I think I will... come in with... And I really like those 4 sports.
Okay, that's fine.
Volleyball.
Let me just say as well, watching cricket in the Caribbean is a different experience. If you're not a fan of cricket, Go watch Cricket in the Caribbean. I guarantee you, Ali.
what are we doing,
I'll
Seth?
Take you on Gap.
Wait, you're sitting in the sun.
No, I don't want to go with Gap. I do not want to go with Gap.
I've taken it upon myself to make you and Gab fans of cricket.
Gab is not going to allow me to order from the menu.
Don't worry. Don't worry. There's no menu. We'll be all right.
What about you?
What about me?
Sports.
Soccer ball?
Is one still?
What do you mean still?
We've been doing this for a long time.
You want soccer?
Drag me.
Wow. Oh, goodness me.
Baseball?
It's number two, really?
Yeah. But I grew up in Venezuela.
Right.
I am from Venezuela.
Yes.
So, you play baseball.
Like cricket.
In
like cricket,
yeah,
for us.
Like cricket would be for you guys.
Yes.
And watching baseball in Venezuela is different than anywhere else. Hey, Shaq, you can come over.
All right, deal.
This is a Disney Plus special.
golf.
Third. Mm.
Football.
Cowboys.
Yeah. Then I would say basketball after that.
Okay, all right.
But I used to be more of a fan of basketball back in the day, on the Jordan days. Now, not so much. No, not so much.
I bet you Robbo doesn't have soccer as number one.
Oh, yeah. God, Dan. Of course I do. You know, you watch so much of it. It has to be your number one love. So it'll be football.
So because it pays the bills.
It would then be cricket.
FIFA check.
It would then be rugby union.
Yep.
I would then go for NFL. And lastly, at the Olympics, I'd like watching the rowing because I know what sort of pain they're in. I know what sort of pain I'm in.
Takes us back to Retiro in Madrid. You and Gab.
How did that go? Robo?
I've got to say, when I see them, the cox is usually the smallest guy in the boat. My cox was the biggest one.
Oh, wow. Shifting blame already.
Need to rephrase that, though. Need to rephrase that.
Can I just remind you, Robo? You got your backside handed to you by Stevie Nichol. The very same Stevie Nichol.
Just gonna get
of course you have to have a handicap in the race, otherwise it would be a race.
Yeah, dear. That's one of my worst days ever, I think. Wow. Oh, that's going to go down. It's a massive day.
Oh. Just give us your top five worst days.
That was the top one, without doubt.
Divorce. Oh, we're done. Oh, goodness me. Right, we will be back. And we'll be back maybe tomorrow.
Hopefully.
Top five lists. Ali's and Shaka's sporting adventure. It'll be nice around the world. I'm going to send Craig on you with it as well.
No, thank you.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.